shortly after the anybody in the air reminds me that after a while our radio operator was moved away because he was an airways operator, and the official Marconi man was posted to Lindi because they were looking at it as a communications center operated by the Marconi people. So they posted down to us to start with their initial operator, and that was Mike Murphy. And of course it was absolutely marvelous because he had previously been an operator on an aeroplane's operating bar for, I think it was Rollison, or anyway, one of the small flying clubs at Croydon, and he knew the drill of air transport. He was a nice fella too, and we had lots of time to swap stories, particularly about the times I was at Croydon and Eve talking about what he'd done at Croydon and flying around in various parts of Europe. One evening we were sitting in the club on the lounge having a little quiet beer, and we started discussing the possibilities of not blind landing, but bad weather landings. And it then struck us that we in Airways had got no instructions regarding what to do or anything like that should weather close down. And there was absolutely no alternative for the pilot to be able to go alternative to an alternative alighting area. The nearest one was about 350 miles away. So after a long chat and after a talk and poring over charts and things, we came up with the idea that it might be a good idea to be able to get the pilot to fly over the station so that we could get engines overhead, and then to be able to direct him on a course which would be a safe one for him to use as an alighting area. But of course then you've got to work out the details on that, and of course the problem was getting the pilot to be able to fly over the top of the radio station in order to be able to get him in right positions. After that, you'd also got to pre-plan, and once you'd got him over the air station, that what route did you send him on, which would keep him clear so that he could slowly lose height, and he would, after a while, touch down on the water, on the sea, without diving into it or without crashing into one of the hills around. This is where, of course, Mike's experience came in, and we did work out what we thought might be a good drill, and then on the next flight coming in, we spoke to the skipper of the flight and asked him would he mind doing a test for us for a possible idea for bad weather landings, and he said yes, he would. So Mike got doing his stuff and tried to get him over the top. Of course, we could see him all right, and so it worked fairly well. And then we took him over the top and sent him on the course, that we thought was a good, safe one, and the rate of descent that we thought was a good, relatively safe one, and asked him to do that. And we carried on with the launch. I was in the launch at the time, of course, out in the bay and looking at him. And slowly the aircraft came down and touched down. And we tied up, we moored the aircraft, and I had a word with the skipper, and he said, yeah, it works jolly well. If providing you get me over the top of you like you did, at the height that you did, then the track's right, and the loss of height's right, and you were in the right position, and everything seems to work very well. So if everything else fails, it's worth a try. So, that was the thing that Mike and I put together, and we kept up our sleeve, hoping that one of these days, if anything went wrong, we'd got something to pull out of the hat. Sure enough, on one occasion, the launch had cast off. We'd gone out onto the water to see the water was clear for landing, and we got a message from Mike on the radio station that what the landing time was, and we went off, and of course from then on we were cut off completely from the radio station because we didn't have a radio in our launch. So we did our stuff, and just as we were starting to patrol, the weather goes down and the rain came down, real torrential stuff. And great billowing clouds came through as well. So I said to myself, what are we going to do now? And I said to myself, I hoped and hoped that Mike has remembered what we talked about some month or so earlier. So we went out through the murk and the rain and splashed out to about where there was a mooring, a big channel, deep channel marking mooring, not mooring buoy, it's channel buoy, which was there solely for the helping the steamer coming in up the channel. We went out there because we thought that was the position to be if the aircraft had been directed the way we thought might do it. And we just sat there waiting, switched off our engine, and so that we could listen and hear if the aircraft went over. And sure enough, we suddenly heard it way over in the distance, which was in the direction of the radio station. So we kept our fingers crossed. It came nearer and nearer and nearer, and just suddenly saw it coming through the murk, and I fired the old very pistol just to let him know that we'd seen him and the water was down, was near us, and he sort of slowly eased down and touched down and splashed, and we've lost him in the rain. We chased after him because we could see his wake, so we chased after him and we picked him up and got ahead of him and led him back slowly to the mooring area and got him hitched up. But by this time, of course, we were absolutely drenched because the water, rain was still pouring down and visibility was very, very poor indeed. Anyway, we got aboard and having dripped ourselves off, went up and had a word with the skipper, and he was delighted. He thought it was a wonderful scheme, and he was very congratulatory to the radio operator in the station for sort of the way he had handled guiding him into position. And when I told him that fortunately we were lucky with this lad who had been flying in Croydon with Rollison, he realised then that yes, we were very lucky indeed. But it was subsequently it was reported to our head office, and I gather that they made that as a standing bad weather drill for Lindy Station.